How are you doing, Chief?
I'm doing fine, thank you. The problem going with what I call the engine room is sit there.
How fitting that Gilbert Blue, one of the longest-serving Catawba chiefs in modern history, would have an Indian room in his house. Musical instruments and the tribe's distinctive pottery made of clay from the Catawba River line the walls.
And that's where I keep letters and things from the presidents.
There's a photo of him with President Bill Clinton. And in a place of honor, a framed copy of the Catawba Indian Land Claims Settlement Act of 1993. The tribe's current quest to build a casino in North Carolina ties back to this document and Blue's tenure as chief, which ended in 2007 after 34 years.
That's a long time.
It is a long time. That's why my hair is gray.
When Blue was elected in the early 70s, the Catawbas had dwindled to less than 2,000. Through a series of broken treaties with white settlers and the state of South Carolina, the tribe's land had dwindled, too, from some 144,000 acres in the 1700s down to a single square mile of dirt roads and run-down shacks.
And there was people in 73 that still didn't have a lot of indoor plumbing and all, even. I thought, well, you know, this certainly got to change.
But how? The few Catawbas still living on the reservation were low-wage textile workers. They had no access to federal grants because they weren't a federally recognized tribe. The state wasn't helping much either. So the Catawbas filed a lawsuit demanding compensation for ancestral lands that had been taken from them over the centuries. And at first, people scoffed. But as the lawsuit dragged on, it became hard to get clear title to buy or sell any of the disputed land. Deals fell through, development stalled, and John Spratt got involved.
I'm John Spratt, and for 28 years I represented the 5th Congressional District of South Carolina, which encompassed all of the Indian claim, the 144,000 acres claimed by the Catawba Indian Tribe.
Spratt has a framed document on his wall, too, of a different sort.
There's a plat from 1781. It shows the land that Thomas Spratt owned.
Spratt's great-great-great-great-grandfather, Thomas, was one of the earliest white settlers to the region. Depending on who's telling the story, he was either a trusted advisor to the Catawbas or an opportunistic land broker. Either way, he ended up with a big piece of Catawba land, much of which remains in the Spratt family. That tangled backstory followed Spratt to Congress, where he leaned on every ally he had in Washington to get backing for a $50 million settlement that would put the lawsuit to rest.
You called in a lot of favors to make this happen, it sounds like.
Well, it's a big deal in York County and Lancaster County. What you're seeing today, particularly along I-85 and in Indian Township on 521, and all over Rock Hill where the mall is and that area there, would not have happened.
The Catawbas agreed to drop their land claims in exchange for $50 million in cash and federal recognition that would make them eligible for millions in grants each year. But there was one thing Spratt couldn't get for them, because South Carolina officials simply said, no way.
We don't want any gaming in South Carolina as far as casinos, et cetera. Whether it's Indian or not.
The only way South Carolina State Senator Wes Hayes and his colleagues would approve the settlement was if the Catawbas agreed not to fall under the federal law that allows Indian tribes to operate Vegas-style casinos in states where gambling is prohibited. That's the law that let the Eastern Band of Cherokees open a casino near Asheville and use the proceeds to build a hospital, a park, a fire station, and write annual checks of around $7,000 to tribal members. The Catawbas were reluctant to sign away the possibility of something like that. But they were torn, says Congressman Spratt.
Most of the Catawbas are Mormon. They do not believe in or practice gambling. So that took a little of the steam out of that particular aspect of their argument.
In fact, it was Chief Blue's grandfather, Samuel Taylor Blue, who befriended a pair of missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the late 1800s. He later became chief, and nearly the entire tribe converted. By the time Chief Gilbert Blue was negotiating the land claim settlement, about half the tribe was still Mormon. And he was caught in the middle, not opposed to gaming rights for the tribe, but also not pushing as hard for them as a non-Mormon might have. Ultimately, the Catawbas were promised the ability to have two high-dollar bingo halls and any other gambling allowed under state law. Chief Blue thought the tribe deserved a whole lot more from the settlement.
But I also realized that if we tried to drag this thing out, we may end up getting nothing, And I thought, well, if we can get federal recognition, which will give us some educational money, it'll give us a housing program, we can actually get health care on the reservation. I said, these things will mean a whole lot to the people, even though it is not near what, you know, we deserve as far as the settlement was concerned.
So with strong backing from his tribe, Blues signed the agreement. Soon the reservation's roads were paved. The tribe built a headquarters and created dozens of tribal government jobs for Catawbas. And they set up a scholarship fund. Some $7.5 million of the settlement was divvied up among the tribe in payments of several thousand dollars per person. Hundreds of Catawbas, like Darlene Condra and her siblings, returned to the reservation after years away.
I decided to come back home. It's cheaper, and I like it better.
Condra lives in a secluded subdivision of about 150 affordable homes and apartments the tribe built on 300 acres purchased with settlement money. Now she's just a few blocks from the health clinic where tribal members get free, federally funded medical care.
Yeah, I used to travel from Salisbury to come down here. I mean, it was worth it.
But the tribe's other economic ventures have not panned out. The tribe's bingo hall in Rock Hill lasted about 10 years, but couldn't turn a profit with the state collecting a 10% tax on gross income and a new statewide lottery competing for business. A restaurant deal in Myrtle Beach didn't work out either. And so Catawba leaders have set their sights on the path to prosperity forged by tribes in other states, a casino. But in South Carolina, they signed away that prospect 20 years ago this month with the 1993 settlement. And that is why the Catawba Nation is looking across the border to North Carolina. For WFAE News, I'm Julie Rose in Charlotte.